Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the killer bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Big news of the day, the Houston Astros moved on from general manager James Click. If you want to believe the Astros statement, they parted ways with the three-year Astros GM. If you want to believe Bob Nightingale of the USA Today, they canned his ass. Paul Gallant is in for Jeremy Branham. Joel Blank to
my left. Did you really do that on the air after Mario told you not to?
I did.
What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm going to do Jeremy Pena for his entire career here with the Houston Astros.
As well you should, my friend.
I was first on the, hey, Jeremy Pena is really good bandwagon this postseason after having many questions about him going into the postseason. And I am going to, continue to praise Jeremy Pena.
The same way when ass clowns try not to embrace the suck and get on board with it, and I'm not giving up my deal, you shouldn't give up Jeremy Pena in that voice.
Jeremy Pena! By the way, again,
embrace it, Paul. Admit you embrace it.
I sang that to Jeremy Pena.
I heard you do it.
He liked that I sang half-hearted. It to him. Yeah, it was a half-hearted sing. You're right on that. I felt uncomfortable in that spot. I was waiting for 15 minutes to do that, too. That was the worst part. I was at that table, and I was the last person to get those questions in. But I'm kind of bummed out that he's going on Jimmy Fallon and not on the Paul Gallant show. I'm kind of bummed out that.
Can he do both? And at some point, plus, you know that the cardiac arrest might have a problem with that. See, now you're learning all the terminology. So you get the highway to hell on one part of the dial, and then you have the cardiac arrest who might send the sheriff if they found out, led by Brian Erickson, if they found out that Jeremy Pena went off the mothership and went on with you.
Well, I mean, we're friends, so.
You and JP? Okay.
We're he doesn't know it yet, but we are friends. You know, he was trying to get his one-on-one interview with me in the Astros clubhouse. He was trying to get that one-on-one interview, and he was doing but all these TV people kept on coming up to him, and he was trying to get away from them. And every single one of those TV people, I wrote your name down. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
All right, it's 2 o'clock
Let's
on a Friday.
This.
Let's play.
205.
203? It says 203 on that clock. Maybe that clock's just wrong. It is time to play a little game of Who Said It? Brandon Riley, your host.
Okay, we're going to jump right into it. Just to clarify, everyone who's not currently on this show is eligible for all of
I knew you were going to do that. I already knew you were going to try to play a Branham cut.
Well, here's the funny thing, too. Okay, so and I'm not going to be on this, or am I eligible? Okay, good, because I don't remember anything I said.
I thought about it. I did think about it.
I don't remember anything I said.
I thought about it.
Joel's laughing. I legitimately don't.
I don't even question it, which is worse.
I don't remember anything.
I did think about it, but everybody who is not currently on this show is eligible.
Okay.
I knew you were going to do that.
Quote,
okay, go ahead.
Number one.
Yeah.
Teenagers shouldn't have rights. They are too dangerous as people.
Okay, so initially, that could either be the olds, the bench, or that would be BK, because he can just be bitter at anybody. Normally, you'd be in this conversation, because also with the love that Brendan has for you, you qualify for like 4 of the 5 every week.
Well, here's my...
Where are you thinking?
Here's my line of thinking. I feel like BK would say it in a smooth way. Of like, hey, maybe we don't let teenagers do anything that they want. I feel like Cody's going to come down with a hammer more so on the teenagers. So
I feel like Jake feels like once he goes through puberty, he will be considered a teenager. So therefore, I don't think he would say that.
I don't think Jake would say that either, because Jake is a sweet, sweet boy.
Would Creighton say that? Creighton could say that. He's in the run. He's in the mix.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was on this week.
He might say it quietly. I doubt it. But he might say it. I'm just letting you know.
I think Creighton could be a nominee for sure, but he was on with you. Does that mean he's
ineligible? He's still eligible for the week, is he not?
Does this count all the
Brady
way?
Is eligible.
All the way to 9 o'clock,
Brendan likes
too?
This because that probably means that he wants us to waste a pick. But I'm just saying, throw it into the consideration when we think this through. Can I have it one more time?
Teenagers shouldn't have rights. They are too dangerous as people.
I can see Lance saying this.
Are we allowed to use the Twitch as a source
no.
of answering? Okay, fair enough. I'm going to minimize the Twitch then. Because
are we allowed to cheat?
I don't know. Listen.
Well, you kind of bend the rules from time to time or make new ones.
Are we allowed to embrace the suck? We shouldn't.
All right, let's go.
But could. We look the other way.
Hey, Sucky Brown. Are we going
to
make
way,
a pick here?
Or? Goal this week, it's two.
Oh, it is, too. Okay.
I'm going to trust your line of thinking because I'm not 100% convinced it's Cody. So are we going with BK?
Well, I threw out a couple.
I know. You threw out a
couple. What do you feel strongest about?
Cody,
I said Lance,
Cody, I
Patrick
feel
Creighton,
about,
or BK.
But let's go with Lance. Let's go with Lance.
Lance. Okay, we'll go with Lance.
Teenagers shouldn't have rights.
Boom!
They're too dangerous
yes!
as people.
Who was it?
That was Lance.
Was it really Lance? Hey! All right, we got one. We're already better than Jeremy. Let's go.
I didn't cheat either.
Number two, I need to give you a bit of context here. The context was somebody discussing being only the second person to vote at their location. This is a great little secret. It's why I didn't say anything at the beginning of the show. I didn't want anyone to flood my voting spot.
Cody Stutes. You know why? Cody had his I voted sticker on. When he walked in the station, I saw him.
Oh, no.
So he wore the sticker, which means he voted, which means of all the people that I would trust to be people that were upstanding citizens and voted that do shows here, I know he did. So that's my first Exhibit A as to why I would throw that into his name into the mix. Okay? Now, on the trying to pull one over, Jake has more pull one over cards than anybody.
I think
Jake has more. He uses ex-girlfriend's codes and accounts for like Netflix and stuff still.
I think Jake is very likely to have a system for it, and I don't hate
he
him
has
having
a system.
For
yes, yeah. I totally give him credit for that.
I think it's Jake.
You do?
Yeah.
So we're just going to lock Jake in, and you're going to ignore what I said about the sticker and Cody and the common sense of that.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know.
Now, we brother-in-lawed to one win, and we still have a chance to beat the quota, so I'm not going to be as likely to throw the axe at you and jump in the middle of this. But if you feel that strongly just right there that it's Jake...
I think if we're picking between Cody and Jake, right, there's nobody else. I think it's Jake.
I don't know if there are others, but I...
I'm with you. I think those are the two most likely ones.
And you want us to go with Jake?
Correct.
Let the record state, because I like Paul, we're going to go with Jake.
It's great. It's a great little secret. That's why I didn't say anything at the beginning of the show. I didn't want anybody to flood my voting spot.
Damn it. Okay. Well, that's my fault. That's my fault.
Number three.
Let's just move on. Be a team.
Okay.
Team player.
Dads don't say no to daughters. Dads don't say no to daughters.
Granado has a daughter. Lance has, like, daughters, sons, and lots of them.
Would a dad...
Creighton has a daughter.
Would an actual dad say that?
Yeah. I'm a dad with daughters.
Do you say no to your daughters?
It's hard to. Okay. I am the disciplinarian and the bad guy in the family of parenting, but it is hard to.
Interesting. Yeah, that's not something I'm looking forward to down the road, because I think that I would be a pushover on that front too.
They know how to play mom better, because they better not try me, but when they do, believe me, when I walk away, it is hard. So it's Lance and John with daughters, Creighton with daughters.
I do feel like...
BK, no. Cody, no. Jake, hell no. He's still wrapped up in the black bush and the red bush. I just mean he drinks when he goes out.
I'm going to go with Creighton on this one. I could...
I kind of like it.
I can envision Creighton saying that.
I kind of like it. I'm going to go Creighton as well.
Dads don't say no to daughters.
Bam! We got our quota.
We got our quota.
Not only was that Creighton, that was Creighton yesterday on the show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, here. I'm going to do this for about two more seconds.
Okay.
You redeemed yourself a little bit. You went with me and we got it. We should be 3-for-3, but go ahead.
That's my fault.
Number four, nobody in the world works harder than me. Nobody is more humble, too.
Paul's out, right?
It does sound like
Paul.
Me.
I mean, because this was already. I'd be like, Jeremy, take it from here. I'm done. My work here is done.
No, Paul is not eligible.
It does sound like something I'd say. And you wouldn't know if I was saying it ironically or seriously.
But we would assume one way versus the other.
It really depends on who you are.
That's
funny.
I don't think this is... Creighton again.
Mm-hmm.
Quietly, I think it could be Jake, but I don't know.
I don't think Jake would go about it like that. I think Jake knows it. I think Jake knows he works harder than us with his little Jets videos all the time.
You're kind of a video guy too.
I guess I don't know. I feel like he puts out more content than I do. I feel like John would say that sarcastically.
I feel like Lance would mean it.
Hmm.
For as big as he is with NFL Network and everything, I feel like Lance would mean it.
I do think it would be a serious take if he were to say it.
Wait a minute. Read it one more time.
Nobody in the world works harder than me. Nobody is more humble too.
Jeremy Branham, when talking on our show about the work, when he works and people giving him compliments and he doesn't like to take them. Jeremy Branham, final answer.
Okay.
I will say this. I like your thinking. But you're missing one important rule.
Yeah, he's not eligible, right?
No,
he's eligible. Oh, so then it's not our final answer.
No, it's your final answer. He's eligible.
What's the rule?
When it sounds like Paul, it's probably...
Nobody in the world works harder than me. No one in the world BK. Is more humble than me, too.
Damn.
Almost always when it sounds like Paul, it is BK. Including one week when he used BK like four times.
Wow, that's funny because... The tone is so different than the way I would say it.
That's because he needs a decongestant in that audio, but I mean...
But he is so, like, cool and understated with everything he says, and I say everything, like, I yell it at the top of my lungs like a crazy person.
But you say the same kinds of things. It's a good rule. If you think it's one and it's not, it's probably the other. Final quote. I don't love this heart thing Jeremy does. Pretty ass Jeremy Pena doing the heart thing and smiling. I'm like, this seems so soft.
Okay.
Okay. I definitely can envision Patrick Creighton saying that someone's soft.
Yeah. I don't see, as much as Granato, and he loves the Astros, I could see Granato and Lance are in the mix, I think.
I think Cody's in the mix in this, too.
Do you?
I don't think Jake is.
Because it wasn't a Texan, so he won't be.
I think Cody's in the mix on this one.
Say it one more time, please.
I don't love this heart thing Jeremy does. Pretty ass Jeremy Pena doing the heart thing and smiling. I'm like, that seems so soft.
Pretty ass.
I could see BK saying it like that.
I'm stumped. I really am stumped. I defer to
you. I could see BK saying that.
I definitely can envision Patrick saying that. The tone with BK, I have a tough time hearing things, and then like because whenever I think it is BK, I like generally have been completely wrong when I played this game.
Give it to me one more time.
Would you say it?
Would I say it?
If the answer is no, it's probably not.
I would not say it. I would not say that because Jeremy Pena is dreamy, and I mean he should do the heart hand thing.
Can I have it one more time? Because I got to make this decision.
Yeah, you got to make it.
I don't love this heart thing that Jeremy does. Pretty ass Jeremy Pena doing the heart thing and smiling. I'm like, that seems so soft.
Man. I see Lance saying that. I see BK saying that. You got any pull either way?
I can see John doing it too. So, I mean, like, no. I'm taking you in, like, all the opposite directions of your suggestions.
I'll go BK.
I don't
love this heart thing that Jeremy does. Pretty ass Jeremy Pena doing a heart thing and smiling. With
his it was Lance. I was down the right road again.
So
why do I do that? I talk myself out of them sometimes.
There's too many options.
But you know what? I can have a great weekend because we at least
we made the quota.
Well done, Paul. Yay! Well done.
Fist bumps all around. That was Brendan Riley behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Brandon.
There's one win for you when you get Jeremy back on Monday, Brendan. You can tell him about.
I think we did okay with our picks.
Well, the betting is going to be, it could be a big deal.
He is Joel Blake. Up next, this show's debated if you should really pay Verlander. Who in Houston sports would you be willing to overpay the bleep out of? I have one that all of the analytical folk will come after me and knives for. And on top of that, James Click is out. Your thoughts, 713-780-3776. The Killer Bees, the Killer Bee Gees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Free stuff, free stuff, free stuff. The Tokyo Night Festival. It's this weekend.
In a world where the Tokyo Festival hits Houston.
In a world where the most anticipated Japanese event in Houston is in Houston. Wait, hang
on. You want to go for free.
I read that wrong. The biggest Japanese event in the nation. It's back in Houston, in H-Town, this weekend, starting tonight, going until tomorrow at the Texas Festival Grounds. Caller 3-713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to the Tokyo Night Festival, and you won't want to miss it. This year's festival will allow Houstonians to experience a taste of Japan in Houston through Japanese food. Do you like sushi?
No.
You don't like sushi?
No.
Have you ever liked sushi?
No.
I even like it from a grocery store.
Never, ever. And everybody's like, you got to try it. I have multiple times. I'm not a sushi.
What about it do you not like?
Just don't care for the taste.
Fair enough. It's like a texture thing? Fish thing?
No. But okay. I just multiple friends. Well, you got to taste. You got to try it. I always do, and I always don't like it, and it hasn't changed.
Fair enough. Japanese music? Japanese art?
Where Joel doesn't like sushi.
Japanese anime? Have you ever watched anime?
No, I know what it is, but no, I've never watched.
Never watched Dragon Ball Z?
No.
What's wrong with you?
And I certainly don't want to watch anime porn.
How about sumo? No comment.
Which is so strange, I can't even tell you how that's a thing.
Listen, there's no reason to connect the two naturally. Anime is perfectly normal.
Are you an anime guy?
A little bit.
I think that's probably why you're being defensive. Maybe you've dabbled in both.
I just don't, like, it's totally normal. Like, Dragon Ball Z is not porn.
I don't want to know where you're dragging your balls, and I'm just telling you, I'm not an anime guy. I don't know what you're saying. In a world where Paul gets hooked on phonics and reads the giveaway.
Good. I'm glad that you were not going to make me expand on one of the directions you took. That sumo wrestling, martial arts, cars, Tokyo Drift, huh? And much more. Find out more info and get your tickets today by visiting TokyoNightFest.com. You're welcome on the 7-minute read to do the giveaway.
We have found out now that you are all about the car movies.
Well, I just like the Fast and Furious franchise. It's not good. But it's hilarious because it's not good. I mean, my God, Joel, like the whole movie, how many times will you hear Vin Diesel say, family, while tipping back a bottle of Corona with the most weird grip on the bottle that you'll ever see? Because he holds the top of it with like three fingers. Have you ever seen it?
I love how Paul and I can go on the same tangent and have ridiculous. Fun with it. This is the same way, tell me if it's not you, the same way when you watch someone on TV that's doing sports or covering a sport, when they hold their microphone a certain way too, you're like, why are you doing it that way?
It's very strange. I think some people like to hold it too, like so close to their face. I don't know. Like, what are you doing? Kind of.
The other one that weird. I always say with the stick mic is the cuppers, because they have to hold it like
underneath.
This.
Yeah.
They have to hold it like with two hands. There's no need for that. It's a one-handed mic.
I think sometimes you.
Well, that's, embrace the suck. Yeah. I'm just saying.
By the way, did you see back in the hurricane, when the hurricane was happening, someone put a condom over the microphone and they were hating on the person? It was a great idea. Condoms, people, they are very, well, very useful.
We had disposable mic condoms in this studio. They were in a box.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I share an Amazon Prime account with my brother.
Okay.
And he texted me the other day. He works in theater tech, so he deals with microphones for, like, theater.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me the other day. He goes, before you see it and wonder what the hell's going on, I'm not having an orgy. He bought 100 pack of condoms for theater, for microphones.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
I thought you were going to say that you guys were arguing over who got to the anime point.
I was referring to the condoms for microphones.
I'm more of a 40 pack guy myself at Costco. So
Oh my.
Well, listen, protection's important. Well, these streets
gotta
are
take
lethal.
Care of your microphones.
Yeah, exactly. Your microphone.
Did they make it to Costco because there might be something slightly wrong with it?
I never thought about that.
Mm. Don't let it get through the five hole.
Hey, there's $1.50 hot dogs there. There's $1.50 hot dogs there. That's where I go. The Costco dong bag box.
Evidently, by the way, also great deals on cakes.
Oh yeah.
My wife wanted, I have the Costco card. My wife wanted to use it. And I'm like, why? She goes, well, it's my last day on the morning show. I was thinking about bringing them cake. I go, first of all, there's something wrong with that concept. They should be bringing it for you. And she goes, and I know you can get really affordable big cakes at Costco.
Well,
who knew? James, now I do.
If James Click is looking for a cake today to
send to Jim Crane as a thank you.
That is where you go, to Costco, 713-780-3776. James Click out as general manager of the Houston Astros. So that remains on the table. Very curious to see what's going to happen next with the Astros as far as free agency. They don't have a general manager in place. There have been some moves already made. Trey Mancini, his option not picked up. Will Smith, his option not picked up.
Let him get jiggy with it.
Justin Verlander on the open market now. We'll see if somebody decides
to make a play for him. Will the JV be the varsity?
There's that too. Man, you're going straight cornball today. I've
got everything for you today. Let's go.
Cornball Joel, Paul Gallant, the other corniest mother bleeper on this station. So we've talked about on this station before and on this show, guys that you would be okay overpaying in Houston. I think that Jim Crane is probably thinking that way with Justin Verlander, especially now that James Click is out of the equation. Is there somebody off the top of your head, Joel, Houston athlete, that you would overpay the you-know-what out of?
I think it's always going to be, for me, the greatest athlete in Houston sports history, and that's Akeem Olajuwon. Ooh. I think that Akeem Olajuwon got into a bitter war with the previous management of the Houston Rockets and got into a back and forth that caused him to spend one unglorious year with the Toronto Raptors. A guy that did that much for this city, brought them not only their first championship, but two consecutive championships, and is arguably one of the greatest big men of all time. Not arguably one of the greatest big men, but in some cases, people think he gets slighted on how low he is on the all-time list. But he is Houston in a lot of ways. I think that's the guy.
I'm so pissed that my time covering the Rockets was so long after Hakeem. And obviously, I would have been 5-6 years old when Hakeem Olajuwon was winning the titles back-to-back, 94-95. It still bums me out that like the best era of Rockets basketball was with James Harden leading the show and his antics with Chris Paul and some of his antics too, which do rub me the wrong way as well. Like, there's no denying that the Daryl Morey run was a pretty good one, all things considered, without a title, but yeah, I would overpay for a time machine to bring Hakeem Olajuwon to the present day.
I saw when they brought Hakeem back in the fold to be a consultant and work with Dwight Howard, and we all were I watched a workout one day before they let the media in, and Mikhail and I were sitting there, and I said, you know what? He could give you 10 minutes right now. And everybody except Dwight, whose ego wouldn't let him say that he was getting bested by a guy that could still play in the NBA. But to me, that dude was just the most freakishly great of an athlete at his size that we've seen. Well, the footwork, the touch.
Insane. Everything. For that size.
The athleticism. Yeah.
Because Yao Ming moved around like, you know, a bit statuesque. And I mean, he's a 7'7" guy. So you can kind of understand why you're not exactly going to have as much control over your skeleton as you maybe would like to. But Hakeem, it's incredible. And I mean, it's what the soccer background, right? Because he was playing soccer for a long time. Yep. Soccer helps out a lot with that.
So that would be the first one on my side.
Okay. This one, now that I'm bringing it up, like after you bring up Hakeem Olajuwon, I'm like, well, damn it. But, Dameon Pierce, I would overpay the hell out of right now.
He's a running back in the NFL, Paul.
I know. I knew you guys were going to hate this. I know the analytic people are going
to
hate this,
too. What round did they find him in?
Fourth
round. Well, that's what I mean. He's never going to get paid.
So it's not our problem. You can find another one when he wants big money.
I don't like that. They're going to run him into the ground. He's not going to be the same guy afterwards. I feel like running backs get a raw deal in this league. He is, first off, runs like there's no tomorrow. Second off, the guy is so fun. If you've ever spoken with him, he is a personality.
That's a no-brainer then. That's why you got to wrap him up.
If we're talking present-day athletes in Houston, I mean, Jeremy Pena should be my number one, but I want Dameon Pierce to get paid because I know that he is going to get completely screwed over once his contract is done. With the way that he runs, I feel like we get 4 years with him.
Brendan,
it's going to be
write
a fun
it down
four
right
years.
Now. The one guy that's not replacing James Click or any other general manager anytime soon, Paul Gallant.
Good
one,
guy, Paul.
He doesn't want a tank to get a great player in the draft. And then, two, he wants to overpay a running back years before he is eligible for a big contract. Don't let him run your team.
Bill O'Brien's back, bitch. I'm back, okay?
And
I'm
nice gonna, chin.
I'm gonna. That's why I got the beard now. Yeah. You guys can't even tell that it's still me.
Oh, certain people can, and they're turned on by it.
The teapot, Bill O'Brien. I'm back, baby, and I'm gonna overpay every running back. But
hey, you suck too, Paul. it's my chin.
It's legitimately a. I feel bad for all running backs. I have a personal affinity towards running backs. I feel like they are completely just screwed with the amount of money that they can make in their career, given the amount of workload. This is not a logical overpay. I will 100% acknowledge it. I just feel bad for running backs.
Love by the hair of your chinny chin,
yes,
chin, sir.
Yeah, 100%.
You will never run my team.
No.
I already know.
Your
two colors have already shown.
I shouldn't. I mean, also, I would try to bring back, like...
I thought you were going to say J.J. Watt.
Well, my big thing with J.J. Watt was, if you take a look at the big games that he played for the Texans, he never was good in the big games. You know, he never had a real massive performance against, like, the Patriots or anything like that. Even Jadeveon Clowney had a couple of games like that. I think Clowney gets a lot of guff that, honestly, is undue as well. But that's just me.
I think from a Clowney perspective, though, it wasn't about his athleticism and ability and the possibility that he could be great someday. It was the fact that, from an attitude to his work ethic, it was always being questioned.
I love Clowney because there once was a time, Joel, where this was when I was in Seattle. So my co-host went to the Seahawks-Eagles playoff game, and right in front of Sal Palantonio, who looked like he wanted to stab my co-host, Danny O'Neill, who I love still like a brother, Danny asked Jadeveon Clowney, because my mom had called into the radio show once and expressed how she felt that Jadeveon Clowney was mean, because there was a game against the Eagles where he hit Nick Foles after the play, and it was probably a dirty play. So she called in and said he was mean. So my co-host asked Jadeveon Clowney how he felt when my mom said he was mean, and he into a microphone said, "Well, first off, Kitsy, hi Kitsy, how you doing? Bye Eagles, bye. Enjoy the off season." Funniest thing ever. So I love Jadeveon Clowney for life because of that. Clowney was very fun with that. Anyway, I like Clowney. I'm not like the afternoon show at the other station, the Highway to Hell, that consistently says that Clowney wasn't a good player here. Out of your ass with that take. He was the best run defender in the NFL for a couple of years.
Like, there you
obviously
go.
He wasn't the, you know, pass rusher you wanted him to be. But anyway, I don't know, maybe stick to college football. I'm Paul Gallant. He is Joel Blank. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, halfway through the season, do you expect to see more from Texans young pieces? Oh, God. And also, James Click got canned. That on the table, too. Don't go anywhere. The Killer BGs, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So you should join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
I get you, Paul. I get you.
Okay, good. Paul Gallant is in for Jeremy Branham. That's me. Speaking in the third person, he is Joel Blank. It is a Friday. Got to get down on Friday. James Click, he down because he got fired. Was that nice? Was that mean? Was I dancing on someone's
grave? I don't think he was treated very well by his organization or his former organization, but that's up for debate, I guess. Jeremy didn't think that was anything, and if Crane gets a bad look from this, it's okay. And I think at a certain point, and I think some of the quotes that I read earlier about from other current GMs about how bad of a look this is and how much of a screw job he got, that at a certain point, it could come back to bite you. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that guys are going to line up and say, I want to work for that guy. When you read the SI article about he's done it with agents and players, now he did it to a GM that won him a World Series. It's not a great look.
It's not. No doubt about it. I thought the optics weren't as bad as they were made out to be earlier this week, but I also thought,
a deal would get done.
I thought a deal would get done. I wasn't sure, and I still am not sure, that Click wanted to come back for all the guff, the crap that is going to be thrown at Jim Crane now. It is interesting that this took place on a Friday as well. It does
good
feel
point.
A bit like a
in
Friday
the news
cycle, dump.
Good point.
But from a, hey, you move on from him, it went from being a story that is curious that should be asked about by Danielle Lerner and by Chandler Rome.
Well, remember Nightingale's tweet we were trying to decipher. Does that mean that we're just reading between the lines that it was only a one-year deal? Or is that he made an offer and you know, it was up to us to, he did it purposely for us to think about, but he's definitely not going to give just a 1 year deal.
Right. Let me reset all the statements that have been put out today and then get to Nightingale's tweets for a second. James Click and the Astros part ways, the subject of an email that was sent out at 11:35 Central Time this morning. Astros owner and chairman Jim Crane announced today that the Houston Astros and general manager James Click will not enter into a renewal for the 2023 season. We are grateful for all of James' contributions, said Crane. We have had great success in each of his three seasons, and James has been an important part of that success. I want to personally thank him and wish him and his family well moving forward. Further announcements regarding the structure of baseball operations department will come at a later time. You have to think that Jim Crane, businessman that he is, probably has an idea of what he is going to do to replace one James Click. And then we have these tweets from Bob Nightingale of the USA Today baseball columnists. James Click actually was fired. He was offered a one-year contract and raised from his $1 million salary on Monday, turned it down in pursuit of a longer contract, was dismissed Friday after publicly airing his grievances at the GM meetings. You've seen a couple of columns, one from Ken Rosenthal in particular, from The Athletic, that highlights some of those issues. I don't think that all of it is sourced from James Click, but you get the sense that all of that came from James Click. Nightingale's other tweet that Joel just referenced, Houston Astros owner Jim Crane, despite their differences, knew he had to make GM James Click an offer after winning the World Series. Crane also made an offer that he probably knew Click would reject. It'll be intriguing how many front office employees hired by Click will stay.
And for the backup, I also, from Jeff Passan's column today on ESPN, had gotten quotes from executives around the Major League Baseball with varying levels of being dumbstruck by the fact that Click was offered a one-year deal by Crane. One GM said he was, quote, appalled. Another said it was BS. A third, how do you get multiple years if all you get for winning the World Series is one? Barring a change in Crane's thinking, he said Wednesday that he and Click were in discussions on a contract. But seemingly, Paul, it seems like I made you an offer. I don't think you understand. And we've seen this recently with a lot of negotiations. I made you an offer. It means take it or leave it. It doesn't mean counter and we'll discuss. It seems like Crane did the bare minimum to be able to say we did try and bring him back, but at the end of the day had no intention of bringing him back.
Right. And here we are. I mean, you lowball the guy and he says he doesn't want it. That's his choice. Maybe he'll find another gig somewhere else. It would involve probably someone getting canned to make that happen. And I would say from the Astros' perspective, I mean, I don't think it's a massive loss to move on from Jim and James.
Is confusing. Everybody does it.
James Click.
Everybody mixes them up.
So Matt Young of the Houston Chronicle actually put together a list of the best trades that have been made by James Click over his three-year tenure with the Houston Astros. So the first ranked trade that he had was the Kendall Graveman / Rafael Montero trade. Yeah.
That worked out well. That was Joe Smith and a guy that was never going to see the light of day on the playing field.
Abraham Toro.
In Toro. So that one, I completely agree with. That was a good trade.
It was.
It was a win-win.
The Mariners clubhouse was crying.
I remember talking about it
on the air the day afterwards and saying, get over it. This is how real teams work. People got mad at me for that, including in the Mariners front office, whatever. Montero as the real gem, like, bleep off with that. Sorry.
No one thought he was going to be the real gem. He was a throw-in at the time, but Graveman pitched his ass off when they needed him for the most part.
Montero, to his credit, did have some good moments this past year. From a numerical standpoint, he looked good. I will say this about Montero. He is essentially Ken Giles, but without punching himself in that. You never feel comfortable with Rafael Montero coming into a game. But that's how I felt. That's not how you felt, because I watched the guy pitch in Seattle, and that's how I felt.
I feel like that, and Jeremy says because of what his ERA and his numbers state that I shouldn't, but I do too. I hear what you're saying.
It's a weird thing with bullpen guys where someone who comes in.
I felt like that with Abreu in most of the regular season.
I felt like that with him in the postseason.
Okay, but in the postseason, and everybody got caught on board that, you know, I was trying to do it from Big Brother perspective. He had too much talent to be as shaky between the ears. And whatever reason, for whatever button was pushed, I completely admitted in the playoffs, this dude has matured right before our eyes and become a stud.
We'll go through more of the list in the next segment because I know we're up against it, and we'll run it over with BK. So that's the best trade that he ever did, at least per Matt Young of the Houston Chronicle, who I think did a really good job of listing all these detailed descriptions. Yeah, Matt Young does a great job for the Chronicle. That's the best trade he ever made. Is that
So is that, basically,
is that a flag for him? Or is that a card in his corner? Does that work against him?
I said to you that he reconstructed an entire bullpen in one trade deadline. That was one of the moves that he made, along with Maton and Yimi Garcia, to give them a fighting chance when they went to the late innings. So I think for that season, those are all feathers in the cap. The reason why it won't get enough love and it isn't good enough, especially for Astros fans, is because other general managers were responsible for signing guys or trading for guys like Justin Verlander and mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton mm-hmm. and guys that were and Zach Greinke, guys that were massive impact players for this team over a certain period of time. That's why he's not going to get enough props or love for it. But I don't think they were bad moves. He just kind of... He was the guy that didn't want to be splashy or go for the swing for the fences. He was, let me hit 300 and let me give you some extra base hits.
He did his job over 3 years, and someone else can do that just as well as he did. That's sort of
that's
how
why
I feel
said I think in a mid-market situation, he's an extraordinary general manager in waiting. I think for a truly big-time World Series aspirations, swing for the fences organization, he might not be the right guy.
He is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. BK is going to join us for a crosstalk.
He's hovering. I see him with the caterpillar under his nose.
The wheelhouse takes over. We're going to take a look at some more of the trades that James Click made. Also, the big contracts that James Click gave out. He is out as Astros general manager. Still no word on who will replace him. What a Friday news dump, huh? It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Corey, not only the president and owner of the company, the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. That means his peers trust him, too, because he knows what he's doing. He's an expert in his field. That's why you go to him if you got anything going on. And I mean anything. You could have a leaky roof or a new roof that you need on your business, your house, or your commercial establishment. But more so than that, you need some house repairs and home repairs done. They could do that, too. Put a fence in your yard. They did a fence in my yard a couple of months ago. It looks fantastic, and you can get them to do it for you. They take care of you every step of the way. They have the ratings to prove it and the warranties and use the best products starting with CertainTeed shingles. Look at FITZRoofing.com and see all the different services they offer and all the different ways they can help. More so than that, if you have something going on and you need someone to pay attention to you immediately, all you need to do is call them at 832-521-3001. Free, no obligation inspection. They come to you. They tell you what they can do. It costs you nothing. Most other companies will charge you just to show up at your front door. They do not, because they believe in their ability to do the work you need done at a price that you will like to. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They absolutely are the best in the business. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. Joel Blank to my left, and in the middle, in the little tiny chair, it's BK with his stash.
He never moves it either. He accepts it for where it's at.
I like that we have this intimidating presence over you, like we're Colin Cowherd. Have you noticed that with Cowherd show? Like his interview subjects are like way beneath him as he like towers above them, like he's those two old guys in the Muppets.
Intentionally.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's on that raised platform. Yeah. Everyone else is sitting on the ground. Yep.
Uh-huh. He's in the DJ booth, and you will dance to what he says he's playing.
Mm. I mean, that's what owners do. That's what Jim Crane's doing with James Click right now. What a transition. Damn, Paul.
Wow, Paul. You can do
pay him. What? I didn't say that. Hey, BK, you're coming in, and the big news of the day is that, one, James Click, he gone. He has been fired. Initial thoughts. Or he is gone. They have parted ways.
Yeah. Could see this coming. We've been saying this. I think all of us have been thinking this for a while. It felt like the writing's been on the wall since before the postseason even began. And obviously with the way this week has gone down, with the fact that there was a press conference for only Dusty Baker while James Click was in Vegas doing other stuff, it just felt like the writing's been on the wall for a while. So it's shocking. It's something you don't see often in sports where right after winning a championship, you part ways with your general manager. But if you've been following this team and if you've been reading some of the tea leaves, I don't think you're too stunned that this happened.
Yeah, I think it wasn't going to end well, right? If at the very best case scenario for him, he was only being brought back to be a bridge until Crane got the next guy he wanted, Stearns or Sig or whoever it was. But best case scenario for him was the worst case scenario for just about any general manager that would ever wanted to work for a franchise, because you know you're not in their long-term plans and you're not getting any credit from the owner for doing what it took the last 3 years to get where you finally got to again.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
100%. And now, okay, well, the Astros are going to have to figure out who the next guy is, because, of course, there's some big moves to be made if they're interested in Anthony Rizzo still, as has been rumored, or a first baseman, or a left-handed
Contreras, or whoever.
Wilson Contreras.
Got to sign JV or not.
I would like Andrew Benintendi to be perfectly honest. I feel like you're...
Tell him, BK.
Oh, I was going to talk about Contreras. There's no way Contreras is coming here. We know this, right?
But Click met with him in Vegas.
Yeah, well, for what team?
Don't know.
Yeah. Not for the Astros.
Now that is spicy. I like that.
Come on, man. Dusty Baker loves Martin Maldonado more than his own son. Okay? He's not bringing in...
What about Mauricio
Dubon?
I think he likes Mauricio Dubon more.
That's a good point, too.
No. Yeah. No, because Dubon wasn't starting every day. Like, Maldonado was starting every day.
Well, Justin Verlander pitched. Yeah, that's true.
Well, not in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no. Like, he wouldn't... We know what happened at the trade deadline with Contreras. There's no way.
They also got two young prospects, too, at catcher that are probably going to be up. Yonier Diaz and Corey Lee.
Those guys could hit 500 next year, and Maldi's still starting hitting 170. You guys know how it works.
Hey, he's defensive
mastermind. If he can play with a hernia and a broken hand, he can play every day and still not hit.
I forgot. Maldi did catch that no-hitter in the World Series, didn't he?
No, he did not.
Oh.
No, he did not.
Wait, so the Astros pitching staff doesn't forget how to pitch?
They each had one of those combined no-nos that don't mean anything, according to some national writers.
This is the deadest horse, but I will continue to beat it until Martin Maldonado is not the starting catcher.
I'm a Vasquez fan, so
yeah,
me too. I don't say Maldi doesn't have to be on the right. Can't be on the roster.
No,
Maldi and I are on good terms right now. You know, we weren't at the end of the regular season, but right now, you know, riding high after the World Series victory and with a couple of bleep talks. Almost swore. 5 hours on the radio, that happens. You know, a couple of bleep talks out towards all the haters. I'm back on team orange hair, Martin Maldonado.
I was going to say, are you going to go with the bright-colored mohawk hairdo?
I mean, I did live in Seattle, so.
Yeah.
Good point.
Come on.
Cursing on the air, by the way.
You're going to have a bowl of granola after this?
I'm definitely going to
have... Well, you do like the flannels. I know that.
I have some coffee and IPA mixed together.
You going axe throwing after this?
Ooh, been there, done that.
You're going to play the Astros in a World Series 3 times in a year and lose all three? And never make it into a World Series to actually do it for real?
Could do that, you know? Okay. That's how it goes. Hey, let's go back through some of the moves that James Flick has made.
Yeah.
We talked about some of the trades in the last segment, specifically the trade that he made to get Kendall Graveman, to get Rafael Montero. Take a look at some of the other moves on the list that Matt Young put together for the Houston Chronicle. I'm not going to lie. Christian Vasquez is the second-ranked trade that James Click made, and it wasn't about trades necessarily with James Click or doing anything splashy. As we've talked about for most of the show, BK, it's been about, hey, maintaining what the Astros have been over the last couple of years. Some of the other moves that were made, the very long contract for Lance McCullers, which I'm not the biggest fan of. Ryan Presley gets a long-term deal. That's worked out very well for them. Yordan Alvarez got an extremely team-friendly deal.
Ooh, that was a steal.
I mean, that one is probably the best move if you're going to give James Click credit for anything.
But because he was already in the organization, it doesn't count the same way as Verlander or Cole or Morton or Big or Grinke, guys that you went and got.
Mm-hmm.
You just kept your own at a very favorable price.
We go through a bunch of names. So, BK, let me ask you this question. Will James Click be remembered as a part of this Astros run?
Depends on what happens next. If they start to go downhill with Stearns or whoever the hell they bring in, people are going to be like, why do we do this? James Click was actually a really good general manager, and we screwed up. We actually shot ourselves in the foot, and that's what led to the end of the golden era of Astros baseball. If the next guy they bring in continues this golden era, and the Astros are still in 2 World Series per every 3 years, then I think people won't think negatively of James Click. They're not going to be like, he did a terrible job, because he still did what he did, but he's not going to be a big part of the story by any stretch.
How about you, Joel?
I mean, I think he's right. I think that from the standpoint of if they fall off the planet, then was the beginning of the end. Kind of like we knew the beginning of the end for the Texans when Bill O'Brien screwed up the Kansas City game and then traded DeAndre Hopkins, and you're like, oh God, it's the beginning of the end. If you look back and say, it all started going south when James Click, you know, parted ways with Crane, then maybe. But other than that, this is a juggernaut that just keeps winning. And it looks like the sustained winning is going to continue to happen. So if it does, he was just I can't think of the term offhand, but he was basically just a piece that we could replace. He was replaceable, and they did.
He was your interim GM. It does feel that way for 3 years.
Of interim GMs, can I throw something at you guys? It just hit my mind when we were talking about this.
Hit me.
If they truly want Stearns, but they don't want to give up anything to get him from the Brewers, and he only has 1 year left, then Stearns tells you who to hire, who's going to be who should be the general manager, because it's one of Stearns' guys. That guy becomes the general manager. In a year's time, just like in Milwaukee, Stearns becomes your president of baseball operations. The GM still works for Stearns, still reports to him. You still get what you need out of the guy because he's still going to be pulling the trigger in behind the scenes, and the Astros get their guy a year early without having to give up compensation.
That's a little too complicated, I think. I because also, too, like...
Crane's a businessman.
I get that, but...
You get your guy without paying for your guy till you have to pay your guy.
I don't know, though. Like, if you're telling Stearns, hey, you're going to be here a year after this, and then all of a sudden, like, he is not... He's working for the Brewers, too.
He's going to get paid well.
Yeah, he's going to get paid well, but, he might have two jobs for a year, essentially, and that's... I don't know. It's not the best of looks.
As long as he focuses more on your squad than the one he's getting paid for.
Yeah, you know what? That's fair. That'd be some money under the table here. To kind of... piggyback off of what you guys were saying, if Jim Crane turns into Jerry Jones all of a sudden, that is the big problem.
That's
the
fear. My mind too.
That's the fear. Yeah, that's the football team I root for. Like, I've seen what happens when an owner meddles too much and when he gets involved way too often with business that he shouldn't be involved in, and it can lead to the Dallas Cowboys where you're just irrelevant. So it would suck, and it feels like that's more often than not, by the way. Meddling owners fail more than they succeed. All right, there's examples of it obviously working, but it feels like this is something that obviously could work, but it is an unnecessary risk that could lead to the end of this golden era of Astros baseball that they just didn't
need. You're right. Essentially, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it.
Right.
So don't try a new wrinkle of the owner getting more involved when the owner just doing it from time to time has worked beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, that's what got here.
Don't want Jerry Jones in the Astros front, running the Astros.
No. That is true. Crane is very confident in himself. Mm-hmm. Perhaps rightfully so. I don't know, though, that Jerry Jones was all that different back when he started to wrest control away and have issues with Jimmy Johnson that led Jimmy Johnson to leave and Barry Switzer's the head coach in the last Super Bowl.
You think he knows Woba?
I think Crane does know baseball. Crane is an ex-baseball player. I mean,
yeah, but that's old school baseball. That's why he loves Dusty.
I that's fair. That is a very fair counter argument to make. I'm very curious to see what Crane's going to do. What's coming up on the wheelhouse, BK?
Now we'll talk about this for sure. We'll preview Texans.
No, you won't.
Giants for like 5 minutes. We've got a new segment called Foodie Friday.
Friday
and big college football weekend here in the state of Texas.
Ooh, how you feeling? Confidence wise,
-10.
-10.
Yeah.
You guys get up to play against the good teams, though. I'm talking about UT against TCU.
TCU's won 6 of the last 8 against Texas.
So. Oh, man. I feel...
You feel even worse about Sunday?
Cowboys?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Aaron Rodgers against the Cowboys. That's the get-right game you guys have needed.
You know, we've owned your stadium and your team for years. We needed to let you catch up a little bit.
Rivalry. Yeah,
I'm sure the refs will hook you guys up with something.
We still had 3 minutes. We still had three minutes.
We all scored in 1 minute, and then the Cowboys.
And it was Ben DeBose.
Yeah, all right. Oh, no.
He is BK. The Wheelhouse is coming up next. That was Joel Blank. I am merely Paul Gallant. Thank you so much for sticking with me for 5 hours. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend, and make sure you stay tuned to The Wheelhouse. Peace.
Into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save